From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fifth day of April 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. And Harry Cooney will be here to take up the agricultural energy markets. We'll check the agricultural weather forecast as we close out the program. And along the way, for the very first time this season, we'll have the crop weather and progress reports from the five top corn-producing states in the nation, including Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed. The nearby contracts and the May futures were down 3.75 today at 7.86 1/4 for the soft red winter wheat. July 8.22 3/4, down 4 cents. September wheat at 8.60 1/4 in Chicago, 5.5 lower. The hard red at 9.60 1/2, up 2 for the day. May corn futures 7.66 3/4, up 6.5 cents. July at 7.73 3/4, 6.25 higher. And September corn 7.03 3/4, up 2 3/4. December futures 6.46 3/4, a penny and a quarter higher. The March contract of next year, $6.55 1/4 cents. Up 1/2. May soybean futures at $13.73 1/4 on their settlement price today, down 10 3/4. July at $13.84 3/4, 10.5 lower. The August at $13.86 1/4, down 10 1/4 cents. And September futures, $13.83, down 9 3/4. January futures, or November beans rather, at $13.78 3/4, 10 1/4 lower for the day. The May bean meal at $3.50 3/60, down 3.40. May soybean oil at $58.85, 3 cents lower. April live cattle futures finished at $121.75, down 62.5 cents. June at $120 even, 90 cents lower. April feeder cattle, $137.10 per 100 pounds, down 65 cents. The May futures there at $137.67 1/2 at the CME Group, down 72.5. And the April lean hog futures today at $93.70, down 50 cents. The May contract at $102.95, finished 35 cents lower for the day. You can always hear the Closing Market Report anytime you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Our programming posted there not long after it airs on our radio station network. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, May contract, 108.34. That's down 13 cents a barrel. Ethanol at $2.70 6/10 cents, down 9 tenths of a cent. And the May futures in the natural gas at $4.23 3/10, 5 6/10 of a cent lower. The RBOB at $3.19 1/2, up 2 7/10. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.18 a gallon, up 8 tenths of a cent. Gold futures finished at $1,451.80 an ounce, $19.60 higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average just about 9 points higher at 12,408 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. In east central Illinois, this afternoon, mostly sunny skies, a high near 53 degrees. West winds at about 15 miles an hour, though gust as high as 21 for the day. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 41 degrees. South-southwest winds between 11 and 14, gusting as high as 20. And those southwest winds will continue tomorrow at 13 to 18 and bring a 65-degree temperature along with sunny skies for Wednesday. They'll gust all the way to 25 miles an hour. Wednesday night should see mostly cloudy skies, a low of 46 degrees. West-southwest winds at 4 to 7. They'll calm down throughout the evening. And on Thursday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy, the high near 65. East winds then at 8 to 13, gusting as high as 17 miles an hour. Thursday night, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 56 degrees, partly sunny. On Friday, a high near 75. Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms again, a low of 56. And Saturday should see showers and thunderstorms with a partly sunny sky later on, the high near 74 degrees. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On this Tuesday afternoon, we're joined by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
In Chicago, the nearby May contract in the corn pit did something it hasn't done since 2008, made a brand new contract high, and I think maybe more importantly, it settled on a new contract high, too.
Yes, it did, Todd. And, you know, the old 2008 high was hit back in June of 2008, so it's, you know, quite a thing to do. And up here, and a closing up in here does possibly, you know, breaks through the top part of that chart and does project to a higher move in this May-July corn.
Yeah, so we had an outside, I think, if I remember this correctly, an outside a month in the corn pit. I don't quite remember that. It was a week for sure. May futures in the corn today had a new contract high. That's at $7.70¾. And their contract settlement on a brand new high as well for a settlement price at $7.66¾. Looks like we're headed upwards and might go for some time. What do you think the upward reaches of the corn market in the nearbys might be?
Well, you know, the number that was thrown all over the news wires was, you know, $8 here along the way as we look at that. Can we get there immediately and whatever along the way? You know, we're being held back. There's a little bit of an anchor with the beans for right now. They are not moving. China's seeming to be out of the market for the moment, and we're getting shut out by the much wider basis or lower cash price out of South America, and also looking at maybe the bean crop wasn't damaged quite as much by rain in the Brazil as we have talked about or heard about in some of the things we're talking about. But there was some whisperings that maybe something good could come out of China here in the near future along that way. You know, we did pick up today that supposedly there was rumors that some of the Chinese have said that their corn stocks aren't as large as they were looking for, and that rallied the corn market today.
Well, in that case, and we're looking at $8, which is maybe 35 to 40 cents higher, depending on where we are overnight, but right now about 35 cents in way of gain to get there in the nearby contracts. Will that be enough to ration anybody out of the supply? It appears that ethanol producers can manage that. I had a conversation with the dairy specialist here on campus. We went through the numbers today. It looks like maybe even dairy farmers, given the price of milk, which is projected to be much lower by the time we get to the middle of the summer and even lower than that at the end of the year, could maybe even break even at the $8 level.
Well, you know, it's nice that we can be breaking even at those levels, but I do think $8 will ration corn. I think we will see some cutback. We're going to see a cutback in the amount of ethanol used because it goes into 10% of fuel or gasoline that way, Todd. Just for the simple fact is $4 gasoline is going to ration a little bit of itself, and 10% of a lower number is a lower number of ethanol need to be produced.
Yeah, do you remember what happened in the last time we rationed this when we made that big run up? Do you recall what the number was? And I don't, is the reason I'm asking, in terms of how much we dropped off in fuel consumption.
I'm not sure, Todd.
But it's a number we'll need to watch, and once that starts to happen, so the rationing may actually not come directly from the corn market itself, but the end user in this case, which would be consumers across the United States.
It's going to be in fuel consumption, and I think that we will cut back on that as the summer goes on if we stay at $4.
I suppose I said it the long way. Really, it just means that people will stop buying gasoline, and that's going to have an impact on the corn market, right?
Yes.
All right. So then turn your attention to the other end users. So what are you suggesting? And on Commodity Week, we've gone through this a couple of times. Everybody was suggesting that if you're an end user of corn, livestock producer, ethanol, whatever that case might be, that cash is going to be king and trying to find it is going to be tough. And if you haven't put that in your bin yet, you need to go get it now. Are you in agreement with that?
I think that it's going to be hard to be buying cash stocks out here, especially as we move on down and the top stocks get even tighter. I mean, this is, you know, the tightest stocks carryout we've had in quite a while, and it's going to be hard to buy. And as we know, most of the farmers at the beef house did raise their hand. They had some corn left, but most of them didn't say they had over 5 or 10,000 bushels left. And as these prices approach these levels, I'm imagining that that's even going out the door.
You want to take a look at both the December 11 and December 12 corn contracts. So we're at 646 and three quarters for December 11. That's new crop. And then December 12 at 574 and three quarters. Are those numbers that you think producers should be doing anything about either for the crop they're about to put in the ground or for the one in the following year for corn?
We're going to be recommending some cash sales when they get to $6 cash for their crop out of the field, Todd. Is that the top where it's going to be? I don't know, but I know that that cash flows quite well. And we don't know what can happen down the road here with all of the unrest in the world and other things happening. So we're going to lock in some very profitable returns on some $6 fall cash corn. So along that way. Going out to the 12, you've got to be just a little braver out there. I am not in a very aggressive marker that far out because we don't we can't lock in fertilizer or probably some of our other costs out there like we'd like to. But if somebody did want to go a little bit out there and they feel very sound about it, why, we'd go to a small amount, but not a large amount yet.
Does the 10-cent drop in the bean market today when corn is making a brand-new contract high concern you at all?
You know, the bean market has concerned me for a little while, just knowing that we're seeing, you know, it's the time of year for competition to come out of South America. We knew that things would be slowing down. I guess what it really tells me is that the whole industry as a whole wants more corn acres for next year to make sure we take care of feed and fuel needs as we move ahead. And they aren't near as worried about the beans, and they feel that the beans will ration themselves.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress reports. It does not yet contain numbers for corn planting. Those won't start until next week. Don't worry, we have some for you. I'll update you in a moment on how we get those. But let's deal with what was in that particular report. Winter wheat condition nationwide as of the third day of April is not particularly good. Of the 18 states reporting, 13% of the winter wheat is in very poor condition, 19% poor, 31% fair, 30% good, and just 7% of the winter wheat across the nation is in excellent condition. Oklahoma and Texas were in the worst-case scenario, where more than 50% of the crop landed in the very poor or poor condition categories. Now, I told you we had an update on corn planting and progress across the Midwestern states. We get those directly from the state statisticians each and every Tuesday during the growing season. Actually, next week, Indiana will come online, but this week we do have reports from Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, and Minnesota. Here's the state statistician from Iowa.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the first weekly release of the Crops and Weather Report for 2011. For the week ending April 3rd, Iowa experienced a wide variety of weather conditions as 1 to 3 inches of snow fell over the southwest half of the state on Monday, March 28th, while temperatures soared into the upper 80s on the afternoon of Sunday, April 3rd. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged just fractionally below normal, and the average precipitation for the week was 0.16 inches compared with the normal of nearly two-thirds of an inch. The arrival of April often triggers extensive field work. However, this year, field work is off to a slower start than last year, and many farmers are waiting for fields to warm up and dry out enough to support machinery. In most areas, soil temperatures as of Sunday were averaging in the mid to upper 40s. Smoke was a common sight over the weekend as many producers took advantage of the opportunity to burn fence rows, ditches, and some conservation reserve land for mid-contract management. Statewide, there were 2.0 days suitable for field work during the week compared with 4 days for the same week last year. Topsoil moisture levels rated 95% adequate to surplus, and subsoil moisture rated 97% adequate to surplus. Oat acreage planted was 6% complete, behind both last year's 25% and the five-year average of 9%, with little oat planting underway in the northern one-third of the state. Throughout Iowa, most of the fieldwork producers have been able to complete this spring has involved anhydrous and dry fertilizer application, along with some tillage and manure hauling also taking place. Cool temperatures this spring has limited pasture development, with some still dormant. Calving continues and has gone well for most producers, with below-average losses reported. This is Greg Tayson reporting for the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending April 3rd. To begin, let's take a look at weather conditions since the start of 2011. During the month of January, temperatures were cold, averaging 3.1 degrees below normal, and precipitation was also reported 65 one-hundredths of an inch below normal. But much of the precipitation that did fall in January was in the form of snow, blanketing most of the state and protecting the soft red winter wheat crop from the extreme cold nights. February continued the cold trend with an average monthly temperature of 29 degrees, or 1 degree below normal. Most of the precipitation in February came early and in the form of a blizzard, dumping anywhere from 6 to 24 inches of snow. But once again, this only added to the snow protection, insulating the wheat crop. And for March, the cold trend finally broke, and with statewide temperatures averaging 41.5 degrees, which was 1.3 degrees above normal. Precipitation averaged a near-normal 2.75 inches for the month. And now taking a look at conditions for the week ending April 3rd. Temperatures averaged a chilly 43 degrees, which was 5 degrees below normal. However, the week was dry, allowing a few farmers to get into the fields and get a jump on spring tillage activities. Topsoil moisture supplies ended the week at 1% very short, 7% short, 79% adequate, and 13% surplus, with the wettest area of the state being reported in the two southern crop reporting districts, where 45% of the soils were rated in the surplus category. As for corn planting, there were reports of a few farmers in southern Illinois putting some seed in the ground, but statewide we are still well below 1% planted. Illinois producers intend to plant 30,000 acres of oats this year, with 26% of those plantings complete, compared to 39% last year and the five-year average of 18%. The condition of the soft red winter wheat crop came in at 2% very poor, 10% poor, 33% fair, 43% good, and 12% excellent. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office, with the crop weather report for the week ending April 3, 2011. Windy and warm conditions prevailed across much of the state. Temperatures averaged 4 degrees above normal in the Panhandle to 6 degrees below normal in the Northeast District. Highs reached the upper 80s in the west, and all districts reported lows in the 20s. Most precipitation fell in the central third of the state. Soil temperatures in the Northeast remain in the upper 30s and have reached the lower to mid-40s in the rest of the state. Producers were applying fertilizer, shredding stalks, disking, and getting machinery ready to plant. Winter wheat development struggled with the lack of moisture. Wheat conditions rated 35% good to excellent, which is below last year's 59%. Oats planted was at 18%. Spring calving was near three-fourths complete with the favorable conditions. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending April 3, 2011. This is the start of the weekly crop weather report for the 2011 growing season. Heavy snowfall and below average temperatures during the winter have placed the start of spring work behind last year, but near the five-year average. Producers anticipate full-scale field work to begin on April 22nd. Statewide average temperatures were 3 degrees below average for the week. High temperatures during the week hit 50 in some areas, accompanied by sunshine that melted much of the existing snow. Statewide precipitation was below average for the past week. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 35% adequate and 65% surplus, and the subsoil moisture supplies were rated 45% adequate and 55% surplus. Other farm activities included maintaining equipment, acquiring seed, and transporting grain to market. Livestock producers reported good calving conditions. That's the weekly crop weather report for the week ending April 3rd, 2011. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our thanks to the state statisticians for those audio updates. Remember, NAS will compile the national numbers either beginning next week or the following week. No worries, because we have the five top corn-producing states and their audio updates. Next week, Indiana will be along with us. They are in order: Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. We bring you those audio updates each and every Tuesday afternoon. You are listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. On the phone line with us to take up the agricultural energy markets, as he does once a month, and we do each and every Tuesday here on the Closing Market Report, Harry Cooney of GrowMark. He's in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Actually, you're in Bloomington, Illinois, but they're twin
cities. Kind of connected together here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we have lots of things still happening in the world of agricultural energy markets and a whole series of things we probably should talk about, but let's talk about energy price trends to begin with.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've had such exciting markets here, and we just continue to have dynamic markets. This uptrend in the diesel fuel, the gasoline, the crude oil, and in the propane just continues. We put out several recommendations over the past several months to our FS member cooperatives, and so they can take it on to their end users to do some buying, and we wish we would have bought more. It was interesting, when we look back at winter, we never really did get the seasonal setback in December and January like we would normally see, and so we just kind of had to grab it on the way up. We did get some bought, fortunately, but you can just never have enough bought when you're in a strong uptrend like this. The stock market, of course, has come back real well since the big sell-off there a month ago after the problems in Japan. The stock market coming back is kind of coinciding with strength in the oil markets. Again, China this morning just raised one of their key interest rates by 0.25%. In a way, you could say they're trying to cool their economy, but we look at it as saying if they feel the need to cool their economy, that probably means their economy is running strong, and that's in turn bullish for oil. We just made new highs for the move here, for the spring move today in gasoline, heating oil, and crude oil, I believe, also. And so we're really having quite a roaring bull market here, as we're, you know, as you well know, that we're seeing in a number of commodities.
As the planting season ramps up in the nation, farmers will use a lot of diesel. Is there enough stock on hand?
Yes. Yep. I can easily say that stocks are in good shape going into the springtime planting season. Shouldn't have any problems with supply. It's just we're going to be paying a price higher than what we would have liked to. I mean, fortunately, when we look at the grain markets, they're up too. I mean, this whole thing is just kind of like rising ships. Everything tends to go up kind of together.
And then, of course, we still have Middle East tensions, North Africa tensions. What are your expectations?
Well, you're right. I mean, you know, we had Egypt, and then we've moved over to Libya, and the concern always is that if we start having some problems in Saudi Arabia, that's the big one. So far here in the last couple weeks, though, it's kind of cooled down. There for a while, every day or so, we saw some new problem over there, but now it's kind of quieting down over there. We're still in an uptrend, though, so higher prices are likely.
Thanks so much, Harry.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark, based in Bloomington, Illinois, joins us on a Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural energy markets. Normally, when I return, we talk about the agricultural weather. Our weathercaster is not available today. Don't worry, we'll have an update from agricultural economist Daryl Good when we come back here on the Closing Market Report.
It's National Raisin and Spice Bar Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1764, the Sugar Act passed in Britain, placing new restrictions on the import of molasses to America. In 1806, Isaac Quintard patented the apple cider mill. In 1858, W. Atlee Burpee was born. Burpee founded the world's largest mail-order seed company in 1876 when he was just 18 years old. He was staked by his mother, who gave him $1,000 to get started in his business. In 1881, Edwin Houston co-patented a centrifugal separator, which could be used in separating milk. By the way, the patent not only mentioned separating milk and cream, but clearing muddy water for paper making. In 1923, the Firestone Tire and Rubber Company of Akron, Ohio, began the first regular production of balloon tires for commercial use. Firestone's low-pressure balloon tires revolutionized work on the farm, giving tractors a more comfortable ride while lowering fuel consumption as well as lowering the danger of high-pressure tire blowouts. And that's this day in agricultural history.
It's a Tuesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. You know, the commodity markets are working pretty hard to get U.S. farmers to grow more acres of, well, most major crops. This year, cotton, corn, and wheat acres should all be higher than last. That's a good thing because demand for those crops has been really strong. But as you'll hear in a moment, there may be a hitch in the corn numbers. It's called the trendline yield.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
The price of corn is really high, record high, in fact. It's that way because demand for the crop is pushing the limits of how much of it might be available. Last year, U.S. farmers raised the third largest corn crop on record, but it was much smaller than most had anticipated. That anticipation is based on a trend line yield. The ag economists at the University of Illinois have been and continue to make an argument that trend is about 3 to 4 bushels lower than the trade has been using for the national average corn yield. Illinois' Darrell Good says it's all about the numbers behind the trend line.
People calculate trend yield differently. The traditional way is you just look at actual yields over time and fit a trend line to that, just a regression line, and you calculate the slope of that line and you say there's your trend. But when you start that data observations is very important. How far back do you go? And looking at yields and fitting a trend line to that. And then secondly, and I think more subtly, do you take in account at all differing weather patterns over the period of time so that what you would really like to get a handle on is what is the weather-adjusted yield each year and then calculate a trend to that. And when you do that, what you find is that on average, weather conditions in much of the growing area have been more favorable in the last 15 years than, say, on average in the previous 35 years.
So the tendency at Illinois has been to discount actual yields in recent years. That's because the growing season weather in most of those years has been better than average. When you put that kind of number in play in 2011, Illinois' projected trend line yield then is about 3 to 4 bushels less than most in the trade expect, and even more than a few in the trade have estimated, says Darrell Good.
Others get an even higher number because they want to start calculating the trend more recently, say start in the early 90s or late 90s and calculate a trend over a fairly short period of time. So people do it differently, and so you get a different number. The market seems to kind of settle on 162 bushels as trend. We would be 3 or 4 bushels below that in terms of our calculation of trend.
It is a 300 to 400 million bushel difference on the size of the corn crop. And in a year like this one, 2011, when demand is gobbling up every available bushel in the bin, a 3 to 4% swing in the number of bushels harvested will have an enormous impact on the price of what some call yellow gold, corn. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Have a good afternoon.